This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? 'Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. 'Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful to be on the air with you again today. And we have a guest with us today, and we're going to be talking about children. We're going to be talking about families. We're going to be talking about a ministry that helps in those areas. And you know what? I'm a mom. And so those of you that are moms out there, you understand that, you know, we just give our all to our children. We love them so much. But there's a lot of children out there that are hurting that might not have a mom or might not have a dad, or maybe the moms and dads just don't know really how to be a mom or a dad. And so these children are needing love, they're needing care, and so there is ministries out there that help with this, and it's a wonderful thing. So I'm going to welcome right now Danny Sales. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Sue. How are you?
I am just fantastic.
Great.
And how
Thanks
are you?
For having us. I'm doing really well. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
Yeah, me too. So I'm going to give a little bio so people can have a little bit of an understanding here. So bear with me.
Okay.
Since 2009, Olive Crest, headquartered in Santa Ana, California, has hosted the Safe Families for Children Southern California Network. The program offers sanctuary to thousands of children, minimizing the risk for abuse or neglect, while giving parents the time and tools they need to help their families thrive. Our guest, Danny Sales, has been the director of Safe Families for Children for Olive Crest since 2010. Under his direction, the Southern California Network has hosted over 1,000 children in Southern California and maintains an extensive database of more than 40 host churches, 200 host families, and 1,000 other volunteers. How wonderful is that? So I'd like to know, how did this get started?
Well, let me tell you, in Chicago in 2003, an agency very similar to Olive Crest, a private child welfare agency that's been doing a lot of really good work with kids and families that are involved in the foster care kind of world in the system of that, really just started to recognize that in their community, there were a lot of families that didn't qualify for a lot of the services that were there. They, in a sense, kind of hadn't gotten bad enough yet, the crisis in their family, and so they kind of didn't qualify, and they really recognized that there was a large number of families in their community that needed help, and so really started to ask the question of how could we begin to build something that would provide support and connection for these families in crisis, really as a way of trying to help prevent things from getting worse and ultimately ending up engaging with the foster care system and that kind of a thing. And so they started Safe Families for Children in 2003 in Chicago and grew over time, began to make a really significant impact and a noticeable difference in their community. And in 2009, the decision was made to kind of roll this out on a national level, and that's when Olive Crest stepped forward and said, we believe in what that program's about. We want to be a lead agency on the West Coast for the program of Safe Families for Children, and we became a national partner for the program and have taken on the responsibility of developing the Safe Families for Children program all across the West Coast.
So how is this connected to Olive Crest?
So Safe Families for Children is a national program that is hosted locally in 52 sites around the country in 26 states. It's hosted locally by a local agency. And so Olive Crest is an agency here in Southern California that's been providing really fantastic services such as foster care and adoption, all kinds of services for families that are already involved with the child welfare system. And so Olive Crest, as the local agency, stepped forward and said, we'll be the host of the Safe Families for Children movement in the Southern California region.
All right. So how does the Safe Families epitomize the biblical command for all Christians to live lives characterized by hospitality?
Well, it's, you know, the ministry of Safe Families for Children really is a ministry of local churches that is supported by a local child welfare agency. So, for instance, in Southern California, we have a network of about, there's actually about 80 churches, but of those, about 40 of them are fully building out their their Safe Families ministry at their church, and they are supported by us, where we bring an infrastructure of safety to the table, and they bring an infrastructure of compassion and hospitality to the table. And in doing so, you know, there's a few key scriptures that I would mention that really highlight, I think, the importance of Safe Families for Children. For instance, in Psalm chapter 68, David provides us with, I think, a beautiful description of who he knows God to be, and he describes God as a father to the fatherless and a defender of the widows. It says he makes a home for the lonely. And so, you know, as believers begin to understand Scripture and begin to allow that to move us into action, we always want to make sure that that action is reflective of who our Father is. And if we know that God's heart is bent towards the widows, if we know that God's heart is bent towards the fatherless or those in our community that are lonely, we certainly want to be conscious of and aware of the fact that that's who he's calling us to be as well. And so, you know, there's other scriptures. Psalm 82, I think, is an amazing scripture. Again, David, it's a description of who he has come to understand God calling us to be, and it's a scripture. In fact, I'll just mention it. It says, "Defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked." And I think this scripture in particular is just so important because it not only does it tell us kind of who to begin to serve. It mentions some specific people groups: the weak, the fatherless, the poor, the needy in our communities. It's really specific in that way, but it also, there's some really powerful words of action. Words like defend or rescue or deliver. These aren't passive things that God's calling us to. It's an active movement on behalf of those in our community that need help. And so, you know, as we've built and strive to kind of move out in action in Safe Families for Children, it's been a couple of those scriptures that we've really latched onto as keystone scriptures. And then, of course, always being mindful of Hebrews chapter 13 when it says, "Don't forget to show hospitality." And in Scripture, hospitality really is defined as the love of strangers in your home. It is this intentional, active connection with people that aren't like you, inviting them into your home and beginning to do life with them. And Scripture says, don't forget to do that, because in doing so, you've shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it. And so we just are mindful of that as well in regards to the biblical kind of command of hospitality in our lives.
You know, I'm thinking about the holiday season right now, and I'm thinking of, you know, children that might not even have socks or shoes. You know, Thanksgiving season, we just passed out turkeys and watched all these homeless people that just don't have anywhere to go. And I'm wondering what their child life was like. And, you know, we are all called to be having our eyes and ears open to the possibility of somebody maybe not wanting to say that they need help, but that they might need help. And church is a great place because, you know, especially like the nurseries and the childcare and everything, you know, the people that are taking care of our children when we drop them off, they are, I hope, paying attention to the children. And if someone's acting out, you know, why is that? And could there be some problem there that maybe has not come to the forefront yet? You know, I really, the thought of abuse, physical abuse or neglect, it just pains my heart so deeply. And to have organizations such as yours is just a beautiful and wonderful thing. And we are all called to do this to one level or another. We either have money to contribute or we have time to contribute. Somehow along the way, we have somewhere where we can find a need and we can fill it. Each one of us, each person listening right now, you have a purpose on this earth, and you need to find what it is, because it's going to bring you such great joy and fulfill that purpose that God created you for. And
that's
maybe
right.
It's to be part of this. Maybe it's to be part of either this Olive Crest organization or one like it in a local neighborhood. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. Welcome, San Diegans, for being on board here. And this show is syndicated. It goes all the way from San Diego all the way up to San Luis Obispo. And now we have had the SueFreeze.com website. And if you don't know how to spell freeze, it's spelled like fries. So it's Sue Fries, Sue Free, spelled like fries.com. You can go there, and if there's somebody that you think would benefit by listening to this show or another show, don't fret and don't get excited, because all you have to do is remember the SueFreeze.com site, because the podcasts are there, and you can find them by date, by guest, and by subject matter or ministry. So please don't hesitate to go there. We also have items that you can get there. We have in the Helping Hands department, you click on there and you can get the IAMs, which is who you are according to Christ, who he says you are. And I have got so many different reactions and connections with people who say that it has changed their life to read those on a daily basis. And it can change yours if you need changing, which I think we all do to some degree. So, you know, those are there for you. There's other things there for you, too. There is an ongoing, like, not contest, but request that I have. And I'm asking people to write down, connect with me via email on the Sue Free site. And I'm asking this question: how do you know when you found Mr. or Mrs. Wright? What is your list? Do you have a non-negotiable list? And what is it? How do you know when you found Mr. or Mrs. Wright? I'm really curious to hear what you have to say, because there are people out there that are not sure and they don't know. And then there's other people that'll say, you'll know when you know. You just know. It's just right. You just feel it. So wherever you are in this process, and I just want to hear from you. So please don't hesitate to connect with me on that level. So that was a little side note, Danny, and I just needed to go there. So why do you think safe families for children is important for the community? I've already said some of that, but I'm sure there's more.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, it's, you know, oftentimes we don't realize how big the problem is in terms of families in crisis in our communities. One of the measures that we tend to look at in community after community throughout Southern California is we take a look at the number of calls coming into a child abuse hotline in a community. And I'll just use, let's say Orange County, for instance. For instance, in Orange County, there are about 35,000 calls that come into the child abuse hotline every year. And these calls that are coming in from people in the community. Maybe it's a teacher, maybe it is a pastor at a church, maybe it is a friend of the family. It's somebody in the community who is interacting with this family on some level, and they're recognizing that this family's in trouble a little bit. There's some stuff going on here that really has raised the flag in their mind that says, hey, someone should be paying attention. Someone should be offering this family some resources to help them stabilize and get back to a place where their kids are safe. And so that's about 35,000 times in Orange County those calls are coming in. And those numbers are going to translate from county to county. But of those 35,000 calls that come into the child abuse hotline, about 8,000 of those, just over 8,000 of those, it is substantiated that there is some level of risk that has kind of shown up on the doorstep of that family. Those kids in that family, and that family in particular, is really in trouble. Trouble has shown up, and it's there. But of those 8,000, only about 1,500 of them are able to qualify for the kind of current government-oriented types of services that are there for families. And so you have 35,000 calls coming in and only 1,500 of them making it through that filter that ends up receiving services. And this story of kind of, you know, large numbers of families in crisis and very few being able to access services, this is common in neighborhood after neighborhood and community after community. In fact, everywhere we look, it's somewhere between 5 to 10% of those families in crisis are able to access services in that community. And that really has to do with, they just haven't gotten bad enough yet to qualify. And so as we look at those things in our communities, you know, I think that I'm not that unique in this thing of wanting to be able to do something early on, this thing of wanting to be able to provide relief and provide connection to resources and support to families, instead of having to look at a situation and say, come back and see me once it's gotten worse. Come back and see me once your kids have been abused, and then we've got lots of services to offer you.
That goes right along with, you know, taking care of things when they're little instead of letting them get out of control.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
We talk about that on so many different levels. And I think of when I watch the movies and there'll be a woman who's being abused and, you know, she's threatened. She's thinking that, you know, it's going to get progressively worse and worse and worse. And she goes to the police station to file a report. And they're saying, well, what has he done really? I mean, what has he done? Do you have any proof, you know, that he's done anything? And a restraining order, you know, doesn't really help that much. And so they wait till something happens or the woman dies and then they realize they've got a problem.
Yeah.
So we don't want it to get like that. We want to take care of things much sooner and get the healing that's needed in order for a family to be united and to be complete and healthy so that they can thrive.
Yes, and so you know what we've learned, I mean, those of us who've been doing child welfare work over, you know, the past many years, what we've learned is that oftentimes the parents who find themselves in these situations where their kids are being removed and placed in foster care and so on and so forth, that these aren't necessarily terrible parents who are bad people and don't love their kids. Instead, they're parents who, over a long period of time, have been in this state of crisis that has kind of spiraled chaotically and gotten worse and worse and worse. And it is this lack of connectedness to a healthy system of support, really, that is the most significant contributing factor to abuse. You know, for a long time we thought things like maybe the presence of a drug addiction or living below the poverty line or a family history of abuse, or we thought that, you know, if you see these things in the presence of a family, those kids are really high at risk. And what we've learned over time is that you really can have a time of crisis in your life. In fact, all of us have.
Yeah.
And our kids haven't automatically been at risk of abuse because we have our church family to lean into in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have healthy grandmas and grandpas that we can. But the reality of so many people in our community is that they live without that safety net. And so when crisis shows up on their doorstep, and maybe that's the loss of a job, or maybe it is a relationship that turns sour and a mom and kids who need to get away from something dangerous. And when they don't have that safety net around them, that's when the risk of abuse for their kids skyrockets. And
mm-hmm.
So that is Safe Families for Children. It's a really organic kind of, you know, we talk about it like it's this newfangled shiny thing that has shown up. But in reality, it's a little bit of a throwback to the days in our communities when trouble came in a family and you turned to your neighbor. And
right.
You turned to your pastor at your church and you said, we need help. And people showed up in your life in that way. And the reality of our communities these days is that that doesn't exist for thousands and thousands and thousands of families. And so Safe Families for Children is just kind of a little bit of an organized effort to connect neighbors to neighbors.
Right, which, you know, is a second commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself, you know. And so and I always say that if we do those two commandments, then everything else is going to fall into place. So
absolutely.
And we are falling short with the simplest of tasks. And it's, why is that? It's because we're getting so busy and we just think that what we're doing is so important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had Dream Center on and the Dream Center was talking about something that I was shocked about, because it were families that they loved each other. They were a family and they loved each other, but they couldn't provide the necessities that were needed. They didn't have enough toilet paper, or they didn't have enough beds, or they didn't have this, or they didn't have that. And those families were being torn apart with the foster system. And even though the foster system's there and it has its purpose and it does a lot of good, in some cases they were separating these families because they didn't have those basic needs.
That's exactly right.
And those basic needs, seems like we, you know, pulling together, we should be able to provide some toilet paper if they need it, or an extra bed somewhere, or whatever the needs are. And they have this checkoff list. And if the foster system comes to the house and finds that one of those items are not on that list, then those children get divided.
Yeah.
And that's not the healthiest of things, especially when you have a healthy environment. It's just they need a bed or they need toilet paper or something. And I'm like, wow, I wasn't aware of that, you know. And sometimes having a show like this show and having people like you that come on and educate those to what is happening around us, maybe that's going to open some doors and help some more people. That's the hope, is that someone listening or multitude of people listening are going to not just listen, but they're going to take action, and somehow they're going to have their eyes opened. They're going to have their ears open. They're going to be looking for opportunities to serve or to be of help to families that might be just right next door.
That's right. Yeah, and Sue, I appreciate you saying that, because it is such a it is this action-oriented thing that is so Christ-like. I struggle to find scripture that talks a lot about how important it is that we feel. You know, it goes much deeper than that. It is these feelings that motivate us to action. And as we, you know, as we enter this kind of holiday season and this time of giving that we're in right now, I think a lot of times we focus a lot on giving, and we do it sometimes in a way that it makes us feel good to do that, you know. But I think that there is even possibly a deeper call to that, and it is to give in the context of a relationship. You know, I've been really learning lately from the families that we've been working with, and one of the neat things that I have learned is just this this dignity that can be gained whenever someone comes alongside and moves through a time of crisis with you. They don't necessarily need to have everything fixed for them, but for someone to come alongside and walk through it with me. You might even say similar to how Christ came to earth and walked through our humanity with us, you know. There's such a dignity that comes with that, and in that dignity, this transfer of some toilet paper or some socks or some stuff, you know, it really is received in such a different way. And so it becomes much more powerful experience when we really engage beyond just giving a thing, but instead to, in the context of being your friend, I'm going to share what I have. That there's really something powerful that happens in the midst of that, really transformative.
Absolutely. The Sue Free Show is the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. When they're involved and when we're in relationship, when we have these things, this is what causes the connection, and it causes us to have a safe place and feel like we are cared for. And we need to have that. All of us do. It doesn't matter who you are. We all need these things. What are the three objectives Safe Families tries to meet?
Well, we really do strive to meet three very specific things. The first of these is what we call early intervention. And with early intervention, it's kind of similar to what we've been speaking about. So it's really this idea that we recognize that over time, crisis grows. And so we really want the community, and we appreciate you inviting us to be part of this today, because we really want the community to know that Safe Families for Children is here, that when a family is going through a tough time, they don't have to wait until it gets much, much worse before they're able to access help. They can early on in the cycle of crisis reach out and connect to someone to help them go through this time and find a safe place for their kids to stay. A mom that we worked with recently shared a story with us, and she said she had just actually moved to L.A. recently from the Vegas area, and had left an abusive relationship, had brought her three kids, and was living in L.A., and had been doing really well for herself for quite some time. But her company, just like many of the companies that a lot of your listeners, I think, probably will resonate with this, her company began to cut back a little bit, and her job was cut. And she said, she called that day and she said, you know what, I don't know what I'm going to do, because I have three children that I now can't afford childcare for. And if I can't afford childcare, how am I going to get out and look for a job? And if I can't get a job, how am I going to pay the rent? And if I can't pay the rent and I'm going to be evicted, you know what, I'm just going to load up the family and go back to Vegas to that guy, because he said I could come back. And do you hear the risk in that for her kids and for herself? It's the small problem, seemingly small problem, of losing a job became all of a sudden this risk to her safety.
Domino
and
effect,
her kids'
too.
Safety. Yeah. And so we really strive for families early in the cycle of crisis to connect to some help and support. The second of those is child abuse prevention.
Danny, I'm going to stop you and we're going to go to break, and then we'll come back and we'll keep going on this.
Sure. Okay.
We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show after this brief break.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites. Every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.
Hi, Sue Freeze, the termite lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy Tyson stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreespelledlikefries.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at suefreeze.com.
You're listening to The Sue Freeze Show.
So we're back from the break, and if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Danny Sales, and we're talking about Olive Crest and Safe Families for Children. And we have been educated, and we're just reaching out to those listening and letting you know that there's an opportunity here for maybe for you to just make a difference, because we're here to do that, aren't we? And so Danny was talking about the three objectives, and he already mentioned the first one, and now and he gave a little story with it, so we're going to go to objective number two.
Sure, yeah, Sue. And so our second objective that we really try to meet with Safe Families for Children is this thing of child abuse prevention. And I would just mention with that that, you know, there are a lot of programs in a lot of communities that are aimed at helping to prevent child abuse. And every program kind of has its angle on that. Many of them are very focused on education or parenting skills development or anger management or something like that. And I think all of those are very valuable. Mm-hmm. We take a bit of a different approach with Safe Families for Children in that we really believe that the most powerful thing that we can do in helping to prevent child abuse is build relationships and connection, family to family.
Love it.
We were taking one of our kids home the other day. Her dad had just gotten, she was a little six-year-old girl, and her dad had just gotten his own apartment, had graduated from a recovery program and moved into his own apartment. And the little girl grabbed my staff's hand and looked up at her and said, "This is the best day." And she said to the little girl, "Well, why is that?" And she said, "Because now I have my daddy again. And on top of that, I have all these new aunts and uncles in my life, you know." And I just thought, that is so, there's something so special about that, but also something so powerful and protective and safe about that in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is how an objective or a goal that we really aim to meet in Safe Families for Children is that these families will come out on the other end of their experience with a lot of new aunts and uncles in their lives, and kids are safer as a result.
That's fantastic.
And then the third kind of objective or goal that we really try to meet is what we call family support and stabilization. And it is essentially this. It's just that we recognize that families need really tangible things in their lives. You mentioned earlier, it's that family that has some tangible needs, like we need more food in our refrigerator in order for me to be able to feed my kids tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Or I need someone to come alongside me and figure out how do I do my budget better so that I can pay my bills each month and not get evicted. Or, you know, whatever that is, there are some real skills and things that we can provide families that to us, to you and I, and maybe the everyday average listener of your show, These are things that we oftentimes have extra of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that twin bed that's been sitting in your garage for a year, and you keep thinking, I'm going to get that down to the Goodwill one of these days, you know?
Right.
And it's just sitting there, and this is that dad who just graduated the recovery program and moving into his apartment for the first time and clean on drugs and healthy again, you know? And what the difference that thing could make in his life, especially in the context of that relationship,
mm-hmm.
is really powerful and really helps that family be supported and stabilized. And so we work really hard with our church partnerships as they build their ministries in their church to help them put some things in place that will really mobilize all of the resources that they have in their church. And those resources really, in a sense, are people. And there's a place for everyone in Safe Families for Children. It's the high schooler who's willing to babysit kids for a while. It's the teacher who will give a little bit of time to tutor a child. It's the mechanic who will change the oil in a single mom's car so she can have a solid car to get to and from work.
Mm.
You know, it's all of the stuff that really keeps families stabilized. And it's really nothing more than who we are, where we are, what we have.
Right. And that goes right into the next question is, how can a volunteer, because I know people listening, they're really anxious about volunteering. So how can a volunteer family become involved? And mm-hmm. how are volunteer families screened? Because I think it's important that you just don't take anybody, because there might be somebody there that might not be safe. And since you consider yourself a safe place, there's got to be some screening going on.
Right, yeah, you're exactly right. And so, and that is that partnership between the local church and the agency. It's really, I tend to kind of say that we put two infrastructures in place, and the first of those is that infrastructure of compassion. And so if you're a listener today and you are hearing these stories and kind of something's stirring in your heart and you want to be a part of it, the first thing I would do is encourage you to go to our website, which is safe-families.org, and check out on there, there's a locations tab, and you can look up your state and your location and discover whether your church is already involved. And if they are, jump in. Contact, there will be your ministry leader listed there, and you can jump in and contact them and get started right away. If your church isn't involved yet, we would love for you to fill out, there on the website there is a section for you to fill out an interest form that says, I want to start playing in the game. And that will help us connect to your pastor and help get your church involved with Safe Families for Children. We would love for that to happen. But like you said, there is this piece of things that we really take pretty seriously, and that is just making sure that everybody's safe as they move forward in compassion in their community. And so what we do here at Olive Crest is we put all of our interested volunteers through a process of application. They fill out an application and a family assessment form, and they do go get fingerprints done, and we have someone come and inspect their home and spend a little bit of time visiting with them and really just get to know the family a little bit better. We kind of build a little bit of a profile on them of how they would like to serve their community and what kinds of kids and families would work well with their family. And then, you know, we take all those results of all of that, and then people are approved as a result of their fingerprint study and all that kind of stuff. So we do all of those safety procedures and kind of risk management pieces really to keep kids safe, but also to keep volunteers safe, you know, so that they're they're able to kind of begin to extend their hearts of compassion to people and to know that there's something behind them that's managing the risk of that as well.
So I'm picturing, let's just, you know, kind of how this works is somebody calls you and says that there's a family in need. You know, maybe that family doesn't, maybe they don't, they're not to that place where they're humbled enough to say or ask for help. You know, that could be. But somebody calls and says there's a family that's in need. Then what happens next?
Sure. Well, what will typically happen next is we will reach out to that family, to those parents in particular, and we'll have a conversation with them, letting them know what Safe Families for Children is and what we have to offer in regards to some connection to relationships that will help them during this time of crisis, and also a safe place for their kids to stay during this time of crisis. And I'll tell you, Sue, one of my early learnings as I started to work with Safe Families for Children was what a significant hurdle that is, you know, as a parent. And I'm not a parent yet, I'll tell you that, I'm not a parent yet, but I learned pretty quickly that it's a huge hurdle to get over to voluntarily release your kids to a stranger, to say, I'm in such a place that I really need someone to come alongside me, and I don't already have those people in my life, so these people are going to be strangers to me, and I'm going to voluntarily let you take my kids and take good care of them while I go work on this issue that I'm going through in my life. That's a big hurdle. And so our staff are kind of well-trained and well-versed in how to talk with parents about this in a way that makes them feel comfortable and helps them understand all of the safety measures that are put in place. We also have a few of our parents who have gone through the program of Safe Families for Children that have stepped forward and said, hey, anytime you need me to talk to another parent who's doing this, I'll be happy to give them a call because I've done it and I trust you guys and I can help them understand that they can trust you. And so sometimes we'll call on those parents and say, hey, would you talk to this one for us and help them understand that they need to get help? And so we do that, and then from that we gather a lot of information on how many kids, what ages, what time frame we're looking at, what genders of the kids, what's the particular issue that they're dealing with, and we choose a host family for these kids and for this family that matches that. So when we're doing the home studies on families that want to open their home, we're developing a profile on what kinds of situations would work well in terms of gender, time frame, age, and all of that. And so we match them to a family and place those kids with them and introduce the two parents to each other, and they begin kind of this journey of getting to know one another and connecting their resources and moving forward through this crisis no longer alone, no longer kind of isolated, but instead in connection and in a healthy relationship. And it's that really gracious, compassionate opening of your home and your life to someone that is so powerful and really opens the door to begin to speak some truth in a way that is kind of unique. The list of people who can tell them everything they've done wrong is long, but the list of people who have front-loaded it with a lot of grace and earned that voice over time is pretty short. And so in doing this, it's really, you earn a powerful voice into the life of somebody who, and you have this answer of hope that they need.
Mm-hmm. You know, I as a child, I was a foster
host
family, yes. And my mother had decided that this would be a healthy thing for us to do. Mm-hmm. And I, from experience, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking about the experience from my point of view. And I can say that I think it really helps with the family unit for the family that's in need, but also for the family that seems to be healthy. No matter where we are in our life, there's dysfunction somewhere. And, you know, dysfunction's okay to some degree. You know, sometimes we can laugh at ourselves, you know. It's like you can laugh at ourselves. But mm-hmm. when you see that someone is in need, it kind of pulls everybody together.
Yeah.
It's not the big crisis that pulls families apart. It's usually the little things that get, you know, built up over time that actually cause the wedge. And it's kind of like the snowball that starts small, and as it rolls down, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And by the time it gets to the bottom, it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, from a personal point of view of me as a child, having foster children in my house, you know, did they take some attention from my mom to me? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I also got to give. I was there to give of myself to these other children. And I can tell you, the children were younger than I was. And I became very maternal at a very young age because I had a younger sister
mm-hmm.
that I took care of. And I can say that when my most devastating moment of the fostering was when they decided to give the children back to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And which is going to be another question I have for you is mm-hmm. how do you decide? Because at the time, I didn't feel they should have gone. I felt that there wasn't time yet. But I was young, and what did I know? But I also felt such a love for these children that I really hated them to go because I loved having them around. And it was a wonderful thing, but it was also
sure.
devastating because we had to give them back.
Yeah.
So my next question would be is, you know, who determines when the parent is stable enough to have the children go back into that environment?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, yeah, I appreciate that question and your story too, Sue. And I would say that is, you know, what you spoke about is a little bit of the dirty little secret of Safe Families for Children, is that this whole thing really is as much about changing the church and
mm-hmm.
changing us as believers
mm-hmm.
As it is about changing the larger community of need.
Mm-hmm.
And Scripture tells us to expect this, but, you know, when we reach out and we put on this skin of Christ and start, you know, moving out in compassion into our communities, something really powerful happens in us. And
yeah.
oftentimes that's not always a really comfortable, powerful thing. It's a really humbling thing that happens in us. And but man, I'll tell you, pastor after pastor after pastor that we talk to that's doing this program in their church tells us that they are just so blown away by the depth of learning that's happening in their families' lives as they begin to open their home and give of themselves. And
mm-hmm.
so I think you're not alone in that experience.
Right. It's bittersweet because, you get really
yeah.
connected and attached.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, you asked the question about how do we determine when a child's
yes.
going to go home?
And, yeah.
and a little bit of a different approach than foster care, than the experience that you had. Foster care really is for kids who are being severely abused and neglected, so much so that they need to be protected from their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody outside has determined to remove this child, and somebody from the outside will determine to put that child back into
mm-hmm.
the family.
Mm-hmm.
In Safe Families for Children, this is really pre-foster care, pre-abuse, pre-neglect kind of work,
mm-hmm.
and so really trying to work hard before those things show up in a family. And so the parent really is the one who determines when they're going to have their children come back to them. Now, I say that, and I'll tell you that, again, one of the most significant goals of Safe Families is that relationship, right? And
right.
So during those couple of months that child's staying with you and that parent's seeking help for their issue, you're building this relationship that is front-loaded with grace in order to open the door to truth, and you begin to speak some truth into the life of that parent, you know, to say, hey, you know, we're taking good care of your kids here, and I noticed that you haven't checked into that rehab center yet. Let's talk about that. And you've earned this voice, and they start to listen to that. But at the end of the day, the two parents are doing life together and talking and caring for these children together. And when a parent says, you know, I'm ready to have my kids back, they get their kids back. They don't lose any parental rights. They're not giving up custody. They're able to have their kids back anytime they want to. If we recognize, and this goes back to that partnership with the local agency of Olive Crest, if during that reunification certification process, we recognize that there are serious safety concerns for these kids.
Yeah.
Then as mandated reporters, we are making those reports to the Child Abuse Hotline and the authorities connecting them to that issue to really make sure that these kids are safe.
That's very good. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And we're talking to Danny Sales, and we're talking about the Olive Crest Safe Families for Children. And these organizations are, they're all over, you're saying. And this is just one of many. And you're part of a larger group. So you have... You have resources, you have lots of talent and knowledge on how to deal with each and every incident that might come your way. And that's really good because we need to have those resources. And, you know, that's kind of what this all is about, is the families need resources also. They need relationship. They need resources. They need they need to know that there's safe places to go, and we can get the help we need. And if somebody can't deliver, there's somebody else there that maybe can. So it makes it a healthier environment. And that's what our communities are supposed to do. So what involvement does the church have in this program?
Well, Safe Families for Children really in its purest form is a movement of the church. And so there are, I wish I could give you a number of churches around the country that are participating in this. But in Southern California, we have about 80 churches that are engaged on some level, and about 40 of those 80 have families in their church and teams around those families in their church that are taking kids in and working in families in crisis. And so what that looks like essentially is that every church that we connect with, you know, we obviously have conversations and meetings with the pastors to kind of lay that foundation. But at some point, we really begin to put the responsibility of the implementation of this program into the hands of the church. And we just say, hey, church, we're going to provide you with a bridge to the community of need, because the reality is oftentimes our churches aren't as connected to the community of need as we need to be, right? The community of need isn't always coming to our church for help anymore. And so there are organizations out there that all day long, they sit knee-to-knee and eye-to-eye with the homeless, and they have conversations all day long with addiction and all this kind of stuff. And so we're going to help build a bridge to that community of need for you, and you're going to do this recruitment thing and this support thing around all the volunteers that come forward and want to be a part of this. And so the church really hosts the movement of Safe Families in that they are the host families that are taking kids into their home. They're rallying support around those host families. They're rallying support around the family in need, and they're providing lots of tangible resources. So really the visible thing that you see when you see Safe Families for Children is the church. And so Olive Crest, as the host agency, we're kind of that invisible safety net in the background. We're doing all the background checking and the training and kind of that hanging out in the background 24/7 on a hotline in case there's any crisis situations and things like that. But really, at the end of the day, what we hope to see happen is this young single mom who has found herself in a tough time and needs a safe place for her couple of kids to stay for a while. At the end of the day, she's going around through her life talking about how First Baptist Church down the street showed up in her life in a time of crisis and made a difference. And she's talking about how that family from the Dream Center or from, you know, Angeles Temple showed up in her life and made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that happen over and over again, really, where in community after community, the light of the church is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. We don't need another great nonprofit. We don't need another agency in our community to step up and make a difference. We need the church to step up and be who we're called to be. And that really is a tangible, relational, connected thing with people in need in our community. And so when you ask what the role of the church is, it is almost all of it. We're safety. We're this infrastructure of safety, but all of the visible, compassionate, you know, just connected relational stuff is the church.
So how many churches are aware of your organization that this is available? Does everybody know about this?
Well, a lot of them do. We're working really hard at that, but not everybody. No, we're not there yet. We've been operational here in Southern California for about 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
We've doubled every year. So our very first year, we hosted 40 kids. Second year, we hosted 100, and then 200, and then 400. And this next year, we're going to host 500 kids in Safe Families.
Well, the unemployment, I'm sure, has something to do with that. You know, there's just been so many things happen.
Absolutely. That's
that,
right.
Yeah, you know, devastation hits us, and you know, it's nice to know that there is a safety net. That's a
right.
wonderful thing.
Yeah, but we are, I would say, in strong need of more churches and more families to step forward and be a part of this. So, you know, there's huge need. At the end of the day, we recognize that there will be 10,000, if not more, kids that need to be hosted in safe families every year, mm-hmm. and our goal for next year is 500. So we got a lot of growing to do,
mm-hmm.
And we're only going to grow as fast as the church responds. So we would love for people to help introduce us to their leadership and help step forward as host families and begin to do this.
Okay, so there you go, listeners. Why don't you check your church and see if they have, you know, something like this at the church if you don't know already. And, you know, if this interests you at all, if you can feel your heartstrings just being pulled here and understanding there's a lot of need out there, and you know, if you want to be part of that, you know, the holiday seasons are so tough, and you know, if you're going through a tough time yourself, I'm really sorry that you're going through that. But you know what? God has you. God has you right there. And the best thing to do is to look for people around you that might have a need also, so that you're not walking down this path alone, number one. And number two is, if you're not part of a church, be searching for a church. You know, ask God to just show you what church you should go to and attend. So that's my word of advice for you. So we're in closing now, Danny. We don't have much time left. So what would you like to say to the listeners?
Well, first, Sue, thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
It's been such a pleasure to speak with you today. And as you can probably tell, any chance I get a chance to talk about Safe Families for Children, I just love it. And so
of
I would
course,
just,
you're very passionate about
yeah.
it. And for good reason. There's such
yeah.
a need.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, what I would love to leave your listeners with thinking about today is just that they're able. You know, there is, when we think about problems like homelessness or addiction or, domestic violence or the list is long. We think about these problems and they seem so big in our communities, and they are. I don't want to pretend like they're not. But compared to our God and compared to what He can do through us, they kind of get knocked down to size pretty quick. And really, at the end of the day, it is all about one person. It's all about that person next to you in the grocery store. It's all about that person at the coffee shop sitting across from you. Maybe it's your neighbor or someone in your family that needs us to step forward and move into action on behalf of them and really provide for them. And so I just think, you know, Safe Families is an excellent opportunity to begin to do that and to do it safely. And so we just would invite them, we'd invite all your listeners to check out our website, look us up on Twitter and Facebook and kind of hear some inspiring stories and grab information there on how to jump in and get involved.
Danny, thank you so much. Just remember to go to SueFreeze.com and you can look this up there and get the information to connect with this organization. Look up, ask God. He says He'll be there and He'll meet you right where you are. You know, and He does answer prayers. So just ask Him. You know, you don't know if you don't ask. So ask. God loves you and I love you, and I can't wait to talk to you next week. So, like I said, be a blessing. Bye-bye.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services.
Ah, it's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful pest control services, as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.
Hi, Sue Freeze, the termite lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy, Tyson, stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreespelledlikefries.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at suefreeze.com.